Hey there, this is Seth Juarez from Channel 9 here live at, well, I'm not live, this is pre-recorded, but we're at that conference in the Open Spaces room. Pretty excited to be here. We have a special guest, Joe Eames.
Hey, how's it going?
Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do, bud.
Well, I am an author for Pluralsight as my main job. I've also organized conferences. The big one that I do is NGConf, which is held in Salt Lake City, Utah once a year.
Cool.
It's the big Angular conference for the U.S.
Nice.
And between that, I do a lot of speaking and raising four kids.
I have four as well.
Dear, that's a good number.
We're the crazy ones.
We are crazy.
So, let's talk about Angular.
All right.
Obviously, you know a lot about that stuff. Pretend I don't know anything. Should be easy for you.
Okay.
What is Angular? I mean, there's so many JavaScript frameworks out there.
Right.
What is it that makes Angular Angular? Because everyone's talking about it as well.
Right. So Angular is a JavaScript framework. It's out there just to help you build websites, your web applications faster. Its closest analogous framework is probably Ember.
Okay.
But we had this big group of frameworks that came out beforehand. Really, it started with back in the MooTools and jQuery days, and then people were building bigger and bigger websites, so they needed more and more code on the front end, wanted to organize it better. That's when Knockout came out, Backbone came out. Those kind of were the pioneers of a real framework. Before that, it was just pieces. Then they started having real frameworks.
I see.
And then right about that same time, right about the 2010, 2009 mark, Ember, Angular kind of hit the scene and said, hey, we can actually do something that makes it feel like closer to what you're doing used to on the server side, rather than, hey, here's a couple of little tools, but otherwise you're just down there in the trenches with nothing nice to work with. We're going to give you some really nice tools. That's what Ember and Angular tried to do.
I see.
And now we're seeing a big explosion of all kinds of
because
stuff.
Before there was a lot of little JavaScript libraries that did like little tiny stuff, like two-way binding was Knockout, and then we had the other thing, and then the other thing. Angular was the first kitchen sink one, right?
Yeah. You know, people still call Backbone like a framework, but most people who've dealt with it a lot of frameworks call Backbone more of a library. So if you put Marionette on top of it, maybe it's a framework. But Angular and Ember were really the first actual frameworks, full-fledged, everything together.
I see.
There were some others that you could argue were frameworks, but none of them had anywhere near the popularity. Just
got it.
Tiny, tiny pieces of popularity. Those are the first two that actually exploded on the scene, went really big.
Got it. So let's see if we can maybe help me out and understand how to get started with Angular project.
Right. So first off, it's important to note that we exist in a funny time. Angular 2 has been announced.
Yeah.
And it's been announced it's not backwards compatible with Angular 1. So we have a lot of companies out there, a lot of people out there that are wondering, what am I supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
Like, I've got to do a new app. Either I do or I don't know Angular 1. Mm-hmm. Whether I do or I don't, what do? Do I build it in Angular 1 right now? Or do I build it in Angular 2? So that's your first question to answer is, what am I going to do? Am I going to learn Angular 1 or Angular 2? And to be honest, even though there are some concepts that are similar, they are really different frameworks.
Oh my
goodness. Learning
one
does not make a huge amount of difference to learning the other.
Are they that different?
They are. They're really different. Incredibly different.
Okay, so let's do this. Do you have an application you can show us?
I do. This is for my talk. This is actually pieces of an Angular 2 application, because that's what I'm talking about, is Angular 2.
Okay.
So let me go to a place that we'll start at the very beginning, right? Okay. index.html. So what's funny about this is you're not going to see the Angular library anyway, and that is the reason for that is that Angular 2's startup system is more complex than Angular 1's was. So Angular 1, you just drop your script tag in and you're good to go. You can still do that system, but Angular 2 was built to be forward-thinking and forward-looking, so it takes advantage of the ECMAScript 6 module system. So what I've got right here is system.js. That shims the ES6 module system for me, so I can actually run with it. And then I have just my little config file right here that configures it. If I go into here, there's just one piece. Oh, you can see right here this custom element, right?
Yeah.
If you're used to an Angular 1 application, you'll look at that and say, oh, that must be a directive, right? You probably won't think you would see some other things going on, which they aren't. If you don't know Angular 1, then that's not going to make any sense to you. That's fine.
Yeah.
We come into config, and this stuff doesn't matter. All that really matters is right down here, I say, hey, import this app, right, in my components. And that's what this is. That corresponds to this to-do app code. So if I go up there in that app and I look at it, here it gets crazy. This is mind-boggling, right? how familiar are you with JavaScript and ECMAScript 6? Is this like just blowing your mind?
This is like weird. It doesn't look like, it's like this weird JavaScript, Java hybrid weirdness.
Exactly. So this is ECMAScript 6 and 7, which they've renamed them now. It's JavaScript 2015, or ECMAScript 2015, ECMAScript 2016. That's what we're seeing here. We're seeing parts of that, which is, and there's so little other code because this is just a test demo project. So you're not seeing just regular JavaScript in here. Mostly you're seeing some ECMAScript 6, ECMAScript 7. So up here at the top, you've got ECMAScript 6 modules, right? These are all the module imports to use ECMAScript 6 modules, ES6 modules. We have an ES6 class right here, okay? And then up here, these two things, these are pieces of ES7 or JavaScript 2016. And this is, you know C Sharp, right?
Yeah, okay. Of course.
You know attributes in C Sharp, editing. This is attributes in JavaScript. That's what's coming in ES7 is attributes to JavaScript.
So Angular 2 is so forward-looking that they're not just even going to ES6. They're going like...
You got it. Beyond ES6. Which, in the end, doesn't it actually might sound really crazy, but it doesn't actually matter that much because browsers don't even support ES6. So if you are ES6, you could be talking ECMAScript version 10, right? And it's no different than talking ECMAScript version 6. Unless you can turn it into ECMAScript version 5, which is what runs on browsers, then if you're not ECMAScript 5, you're just somewhere in the future.
I see.
Right? So it is sounds kind of crazy forward thinking, crazy way out there, but it's not as much as you think because we're still going to have tools that are going to come in here, look at this code, translate it down to ES5, and then it'll run in the browser.
So is the shim that you're putting in actually translating this into whatever JavaScript readable it is in the browser?
There are other shims that it's loading up that are going to do that.
Okay.
The shim that I put in just allows me to do this stuff, the imports and the export. That's all it handles, essentially. And it loads up other shims that are translating the class into ECMAScript 5. You know, class doesn't work in ECMAScript 5, so it's translating that. It's translating these. These are called annotations in JavaScript.
Right,
decorators.
These things, this is how it looks in Java. That's how you decorate things in Java.
Yeah.
I mean, this is crazy. So maybe you can take us through, from top to bottom, what it is that it's actually doing.
Sure. Sure. So this is the main point. So if you're familiar with some of the other newer tools like Elm or React, they always, unlike Angular, they always start with one top level component, widget, whatever. And Angular 2 is that way. Okay. So that's why we saw in index.html, we have the one directive right here and nothing else. We start here. This is our to-do app. This is the opening, beginning place for all of what we're going to do. So then we come into here, and all this decorating, all these decorations basically just say, hey, let Angular know that we've got a component, which is the kind of the, you might think of this as the replacement for directives. It's really not. There's kind of two kinds of, there's two kinds of things, components and directives. But we could think of this as the Angular 2 directive. And what it says right here in this selector is, hey, look for a to-do app element, and then this is the class right here that goes along with this to-do app element. And over here we have our template of what it's going to display. So if you're familiar with Angular 1 and directives, these are going to be very similar. This is the name of an Angular 1 directive. That's how we did this in Angular 1. And this is the template URL, same name for the attribute as we had in Angular 1.
Got it.
And then here we'd have the code, which we would see in our controller or in our link function in an Angular 1 directive. So once you get a little bit used to seeing the fact that hey, these are very similar. There is some analogous concepts. Still very different, but a lot of analogous concepts that will help you if you do know Angular 1. But again, as I said, they're very different. So a lot of things have changed. So we started off with that to-do app element, right? We get into here, and we have to look in its HTML to see what's going on. And what we have is a wrapping div element with two pieces. Of course, I had to do a to-do list.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's the only way to write software.
Yeah, it is the only way to write software. Actually, I just thought it'd be very different to write a to-do list.
Yeah, sure.
So I've got two. Again, custom elements. These are components in Angular 2. We might call them directives in Angular 1. Our to-do list and our new item. So if we were to go down into our to-do list, which is going to be the top part, you look at the JavaScript again, we see, hey, here's our selector, to-do list, right? Now, this is one thing that's very different about Angular 2. In Angular 1, any directive that you created was a global. And we know that globals are bad.
Yeah, they're just
bad. Yeah. Okay. So all you had was global directives in Angular 1. You could not have two directives with the same element name that existed in the same application. It was impossible. In Angular 2, that is possible. Not because of the selector, right? It's because of this, and then we're gonna go back to that app.js. We're gonna see this right here. See this directives key right here?
Uh-huh.
This is saying, hey, here's the directives that my template is going to be using. It's using a new item directive and a to-do list directive. That way, they're scoped. This is no different than C# where we say, hey, I want to import this library.
Yeah.
And I can name it whatever I want in C#. Here we just bring it in. But I can actually bring in those things. And that way, if I have another library somewhere else, it's the same exact name and same exact class.
Doesn't matter.
I don't care. So this has two benefits. One is you can name scope. Two, the performance is significantly faster than Angular 1. There's no big global scope that it's searching everything, trying to find matches.
Right, of course.
It's searching a limited set of HTML, and it's searching for a limited set of directives. So the speed is significantly faster.
It's not just for collisions. It's for, because if your dictionary is ginormous, it's going to take a long time to look stuff
up. Right, exactly. So this is one of the reasons why the Angular 2's speed is significantly enhanced over Angular 1. There's actually a few things that they've done, but this is one of them. So going back into that to-do list, right, we've got another class, and here we see something that might not make us so crazy anymore. We've just got a few methods that have to do with handling a to-do list. Most people could look at this and read this. Okay, we have our constructor, which if you understand ECMAScript 6, then you'll see this. If you don't, you only know ES5, this is just the constructor function.
I see.
Right? The class in ES6 is just syntax sugar for writing a constructor function and using the prototype. So we just got a typical class that just handles the setup, and we got the same things we saw before. We tell it what the selector is, we tell it what the template is, and we tell it, hey, we're going to use a couple of directives in our template. We go over and glance at that template, we see some of these. So here's built-in directives, ng4, ngf. Go over to the template, and we'll see them right here, ngf and ng4. So here we're hitting a point where now we're seeing things in the template that are new.
Yeah.
We got these asterisks here, we've got these parentheses over here, and in a different template, we'll have square brackets, all in these attribute names. Now, right off the bat, you might think, well, okay, obviously this isn't valid HTML, but it is. This is actually valid HTML5. So the spec allows for there to be these characters in the attribute names. Not necessarily all browsers follow the spec 100%.
I see.
But this does follow the spec. Nonetheless, nobody uses parentheses, so Angular takes advantage of that to say, hey, these asterisks, these denote that it's a built-in directive. So it knows that this is an Angular-specific directive, so there's no confusion. The other thing that it does is, and that you'll probably, again, be wondering what in the heck's going on is these parentheses. These are event bindings.
Oh, that's weird. I was thinking, like, so does Angular replace all of this stuff when it's built?
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. It will go in there and actually register the event binding. So one thing that's unique and actually really cool about Angular is, remember in Angular 1, if we wanted to listen to the click event, what did we do? We added an ng click directive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you had to memorize. Now that's not hard to remember, ng click. But you had to memorize and associate. The click event is ng click. If I want a key press, it's ng. There's, I think there was key press, ng key press, ng key down, maybe ng key up.
Mm-hmm.
You had to memorize the directives that corresponded with the events. What it did, though, that was bad is it hid from you the DOM API, right?
Uh-huh.
I want the key press event, and now I have to translate one more step. What's the ng dash directive that corresponds with this event? And then I use that,
right?
What Angular is doing here is actually exposing the actual DOM API to you so that you can learn it. That way, in the future, when Angular 2 is no longer the thing and you're doing something else, you will have potentially learned a little bit more about the DOM API, and maybe in that future framework, if they don't do the same thing Angular 1 did and hid the DOM API from you, you're going to know it. So these events, this is saying, hey, go into the DOM and go grab the actual object and go find a click event and register a listener on it.
And then register with this function.
Yes, and then make this function call, just like we see in Angular 1, and have a function call that gets called by it. So this is kind of cool that you're actually getting to learn a little bit of the actual DOM API. DOM is getting better. Even though the DOM API is not a great API, it is getting better, and certainly the browsers no longer have their major differences.
Uh-huh.
So this is good for us. Let's look at this other template really quick, and we'll see a similar thing. This is...
Because remember, there was a to-do list and then the new item, the two directives.
Right. I'm trying to find, maybe it was in here and I skipped over it. Right here, okay, checked. This is actually a great example, it was in here. So this, the square bracket is a binding, where this is an event handler with the parentheses, the square brackets is a binding, and this is saying, I want to bind my item.completed value to the checked property. Now, this is very important to understand the awesomeness of Angular 2 right here. It's not binding to the checked attribute. You know some HTML, right?
Yeah, of course.
So anybody who knows HTML is going to know what a pain this is, that if you set the checked attribute in HTML to any value, even if you set it to the word false,
it'll be checked.
It will be checked. Sucky thing about the way that the attributes, the HTML yeah. works. But behind the scenes, if you get a hold of that DOM object, if you get a hold of this input, the DOM object, it has a checked property, which is a Boolean. It's not an attribute, it's not a string, it is an actual Boolean, and it has a value of either true or false, mm-hmm. and that's it. This is binding to that checked attribute.
Like the one behind the DOM.
Behind the DOM.
Got it.
Saying, hey, whatever this is, if this is true, make the checked true. If this is false, make the check false. So again, we're getting exposed to the DOM API, we're learning it, and it's simplifying all that crap. In Angular 1, you had to use that ng checked attribute to deal with this. Now, we can deal directly with it. And this gives us two benefits. These two things, this exposing of the API through bindings and through events. If I create a custom event on a DOM object, which I can, the DOM allows me to get that. I can grab the input and I can create an event called Joe's happy,
right?
Or I'm happy. And I can, if I simply put in parentheses, I'm happy, it will listen to that event. I don't have to write a new directive for it. If in Angular 1, you want to listen to an event, you had to write a directive. Or dig down and register your own event listener. Like HTML5 video, right? They have a paused event mm-hmm. that gets raised when you pause the video. You have to write a directive for that because it's not included with Angular 1.
Interesting.
You no longer have to do this. They have removed like 60 or 40 of the directives that were in Angular 1 through this sort of stuff. This is just some of the cool things that are coming.
It's actually really interesting. If you're greenfielding a project, mm-hmm. I mean, is Angular 2 obviously is not out yet?
No, and it's they call it developer preview. The releases are named Alpha, and I'm from a Microsoft background, so I'm used to when Microsoft puts out a product in their Alpha or Beta. This Alpha Beta is nothing like what Microsoft puts out.
I see.
There is very little chance that if you write an application beyond the most minimal complexity, that when a new version of the Alpha comes out, that it won't break. Very, very, very little chance. Yeah. In fact, within a month, they could have three new versions that significantly change some of the syntax. So right now is not the time to do anything with Angular 2. On top of that, the amount of documentation and knowledge is out there.
Scarce.
Yeah, very scarce. When I build my demos, I mean, I'm playing around with Angular 2 all the time. I'm building my demos. I'm constantly asking the Angular team themselves for help with, hey, I can't figure this out, and nobody knows, and something's changed.
That's interesting. So if you want to do an Angular type approach, it feels like, okay, start with Angular 1.
Yep. That actually is. And there's pros and cons there. And I've talked to a lot of companies about this. Angular 1 is a fantastic product.
Of course.
It was the minute it came out. It still is today. The fact that they're building Angular 2 doesn't change the fact that Angular 1 is still an awesome product. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to build an application, going with Angular 1 is not a mistake, right? There's nothing about Angular 1 that isn't going to be working in 10 years. Nobody breaks the web. We don't break the web. The TC39 doesn't come out with a version of JavaScript that no longer supports the for, you know, loop, right? They're not going to break it. That means Angular is never going to break. Angular 1 will always run. You never have to worry about support and backwards compatibility. Now, will Angular 1 ever die official support? That's only going to be at the point when there are so few companies using it, they don't no longer need support. So, based on those two things, creating an Angular application today is not a bad idea at all. In fact, I expect that Angular 1 is going to live for a long time.
Right.
They've created an Angular 1 tech lead. Peter Bacon Darwin, who lives out in the UK, is the Angular 1 tech lead, will be for a long time, managing a team of people devoted just to Angular 1, bug fixing and adding new features. So I don't think that there's a problem at all with building an Angular 1 app. Then at some point, if you want to migrate, you migrate. And they've stated that they want to make the migration path as easy as possible. It's not going to be just
without a... Without guarantee,
yeah. But they want to make it, at least you could do it in place.
Got
so you can
it.
Have your Angular 1 app, and then I want this one screen to be Angular 2, you can flip that one over to Angular 2.
So this is interesting. So if I'm trying to get started with just Angular 1, mm-hmm. where should I go?
So if you want to get started with Angular 1, I mean, I guess it's a little self-serving plug, but Pluralsight.com.
I think I watched your course.
Did you?
I watched an Angular course on Pluralsight.
Mine's one of the, there's two basic courses out there, mine's one of the two. There's one that's like for kind of absolute noobs, and then there's one that's more full featured that really covers everything about Angular, and that's my course.
Cool.
So Pluralsight, I've written five or six of their Angular courses, but they've got like 10, 15 Angular courses.
Right.
So that's a great place to go. The Angular site isn't bad at all. Angular 1's been around for so long, it's hard not to trip over Angular tutorials.
Yeah.
Just, you know, you can't swing a
a cat over your head without hitting five Angular tutorials.
That's
so
right.
There's a lot of good places. I really like the Plural Site stuff, the stuff that I didn't write even, I really like. In fact, Scott, if you're an absolute noob in Angular, never done anything before, Scott Allen has this great course that's very short, I think two and a half hours, where you do Angular write in Plunker, so you don't even have to set up your own environment. You can just open up a website and start working with Angular and learn a lot of Angular. So I highly recommend that one.
Awesome. Well, thanks for spending some time with us,
buddy.
Good luck on your talk, or
thanks.
Did you do it already?
Nope, not. That's in a couple hours.
Oh, good luck on your talk. Thanks for watching. Again, we're here at that conference in the Open Spaces room. Take care. We'll see you next time.